Welcome again to our studies on the life of Christ. We are now approaching what we might term the last week in his life. We're a little bit before that. He's been in Perea, and now he's crossing over the River Jordan, and he's coming through Jericho. And the crowds are everywhere. There's a little man called Zacchaeus who's climbing up a tree to look at Jesus as he passes by. He's small of stature, and in that tree he wants to catch a glimpse of the Lord of glory. And you know, walking by, Jesus stops and he observes Zacchaeus, and he says, "Zacchaeus, come down from that tree." He said, "For today I must sup in your house." Oh, Zacchaeus was overwhelmed, and he fell down at the feet of Jesus, and he said, "All that I have taken from others," he said, "I will restore even fourfold." You see, this man was a tax gatherer. And those tax gatherers were anything but righteous people. They took more than they should have done from the people. And that is why they became very rich, but unlawfully so. Well, the other said, "How is it that the master can indeed sup with such a man?" And he said, "Well, he's also a son of Abraham who's gone astray, but I'm bringing him back." You know, many people go astray, don't they? But the Lord knows, and the Lord seeks them out. And perhaps you're one of them, and God is seeking you to bring you back to the fold. Perhaps you've known the Lord when you were young, and now have gone astray. And he's saying to you, John, Peter, Paul, Joan, whatever your name is, look, I want to come in and sup with you. Open up your heart to me so that I might come and sup with you. Open up the door of your heart so that I might sup with you as I did with Zacchaeus and bring to him salvation. For he said, "Today is salvation come unto this household." Well, afterwards, that was in Jericho. Afterwards, following day, he is walking out of Jericho. The crowds are everywhere. Everybody is shouting. But one is shouting more than ever. And he is called blind Bartimaeus. He's sitting by the wayside, just outside the gates of Jericho, where people pass by, and he's hoping to receive alms or coins from them, an act of charity by which he can live. And he hears that Jesus is passing by, and he cries out, and he said, "Oh, thou son of David, have mercy on me." You know, the crowd round said, "Be quiet, you're disturbing the master." But he cried even more, for he knew that this was his opportunity, his window of opportunity, that as soon as Jesus had passed by, would close forever. And so he cried out with all that he had within him, "Oh, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me." Jesus stopped. He said, "Bring him to me." The people around said, "Be of good cheer, Bartimaeus. The master is calling for you." Well, Bartimaeus threw off his robe, his beggar's robe, and was begged to Jesus. And then Jesus said, "Bartimaeus, what would you that I would do for you? What would you that I would do for you?" Well, Bartimaeus knew immediately what he wanted. He wanted his sight. And he said, "All that I might see." And you know, the Lord said, "Go thy way." And immediately he could see. Well, it takes me back, this story, to Andhra Pradesh, a state in India. And I was invited with my wife to speak at a night meeting in a field about 9 p.m. They had floodlights there. They had built a little platform, preacher's pulpit there. And they invited me to preach. And when we came, there was nobody there. And they said, oh, don't worry, the people will be here all right. And yes, at 9 p.m., about 600 people filled that field just outside this particular city. Well, they had built a barrier between the pulpit and the people with little gates. And I wondered what that was for. Well, there was an evangelist there too, and he said, I'd like a few little children to come out who are deaf. And three or four little children were produced out of the crowd who were deaf, and he prayed for them, and immediately those children could hear. Well, it was almost pandemonium amongst the crowd. And then, after a song or two, I was given the opportunity to speak, and I asked the Lord, what should I speak on? He said, speak on blind Bartimaeus. And essentially, it came to this point. You know, here is the Lord waiting for you. And he's saying to you, what do you want? Now I said, you know, we can come to the Lord by faith, and we can ask him for whatever. And I said, what is the most important thing? We're going to pray for healing afterwards, yes. But the most important thing, I said, is that you will go to heaven. And I said, why don't you ask the Lord to come into your heart? And I said, why don't you indicate it by lifting up your hand? You know, 400 people of those 600 lifted up their hand. We prayed, and they received salvation. They confessed their sins, and they received salvation. And then they said, well, we're going to pray for you. Then I understood what this barrier was for. I mean, there's about 600 people there, all wanting healing. And they would have mobbed us. And so we had this barrier, and so we had several teams. And there we stood, my wife and I at one gate, and others at other gates. And the people came through those little gates. We prayed for them, just put our hands upon them. Prayed, Lord, heal. These are extraordinary miracles. I mean, I saw lame fellows, their leg just turned up like that, with crutches, couldn't move, and prayed, their legs shot out, all kinds of wonderful miracles. You see, the Lord of Luke's Gospel, Mark's Gospel, and so forth, is the same today. Blind Bartimaeus was asked, what would you that I would do for you? He knew, I want to be healed. I want to be receive my sight. I want to be like somebody else. And immediately he received his sight. Well, you know, you can come to the Lord even now and ask him to meet you. Perhaps for you, you need salvation, first of all. Perhaps it might be a deliverance from drugs or alcohol or something. Perhaps it might be that you want a lost one to return. Or perhaps you have an economic problem and you want to cry out, oh God, turn my life around economically. What would you that I would do for you? There it is. He's the same today as he was in the days of blind Bartimaeus. Well, we continue now. And he is moving up the road now to Jerusalem. And he knows that his time is short. He was hidden away in Perea so that the scribes and Pharisees could not capture him until the appointed time. Because, you see, Jesus was not only a mighty prophet, the Son of God, but he came give his life for us. And he was the Passover lamb. And now this following week, Passover would be celebrated, and that would be the time of his crucifixion, for he had to die at the appointed time. When the Passover lamb was offered up, he had to be on that cross. Well, we haven't come to that point yet in our episode, but we're coming to the point where he is moving on to Jerusalem for the last time. And now his teaching is becoming more and more profound. And I think that's understandable. He keeps the finest wine till last. And what are the things that he wants us to know? Well, basically, they are these. He wants to teach us concerning the importance of what we do on this earth. And so, here are two parables that he's going to give. One is called the parable of the pounds. And essentially, this parable evolves as follows. He speaks of a good man who has 10 servants, and he gives unto each servant a pound. And he said, I'm going on a journey, occupy till I come, and then you will give an account to me of what you have done with the pound that I gave. Well, here is a situation of equal opportunity. Everybody got the same. And it's like with us. You know, we have all been given a time upon this earth, equal opportunity. What are we doing with our time? Well, the Lord continues in this message, and he says, you know, the good man returned, and he called his servants unto himself, and said, now give an account of what you did with the pound that I gave you. And the first one comes and said, Master, with your pound I made 10 pounds. And he said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou shalt rule over 10 cities. Speaking, of course, of the millennial reign of Christ upon earth, this man was going to be rewarded by rulership over 10 cities. The next one came and he said, well, your pound made 5. And he said, well done. And he said, you will be ruler over 5. Another one came and said, well, your pound produced 2. He said, well, that's good. He said, you'll be ruler over 2 cities. But then there came another to him, and he said, well, what have you done with the pound that I gave you, that opportunity I gave you? And he said, well, I knew that you were a hard man and that you would want me to give an account. And I was fearful. And what I did, I took that pound and I hid that pound. I hid that pound. And he said, here is your pound. And the Lord said, this good man said, oh, you wicked, worthless servant. Cast him out into outer darkness and give that pound he has to the one who has 10 pounds. And the others said, well, Master, he already has 10. And then the Lord said this, to him that hath shall be given, and to him that hath not shall be taken away even that which he hath not. You know, it's the law of the kingdom. It's the law of life. To him that hath is given, isn't it? The one that has money makes money, and so on. Well, what I'm saying is this. You know, what are we doing with our life? Now, we all have equal opportunity in one sense. And what are we doing with the time that God has given to us here on earth? Are we applying it to enriching ourselves in the kingdom of heaven, to reading the Word of God, that we might increase faith in our hearts, to applying ourselves to the study of God's Word, to know the ways of God, and to know and understand what God's purpose for us on this earth is. What are we doing with our life? How many waste their life in frivolous pleasure? Oh, and at the end they have nothing. Others apply themselves to jobs and so forth. And I meet so many people, you know, who have been successful at this, successful at that. But in the end, when they have retired, what have they got? They look back really on a life which was devoted to earning as much money as they could. But they don't have what it counts in life. They don't have peace, joy, and hope of a blessed eternity. They don't look back on a life well spent in the service of the Lord. And so, that is the thought of that parable of the pounds. You know, what God has given, the time He's given to you upon earth, oh, use it for the benefit of others and for the glory of God. Now then, there is another parable He gave, and this time He's actually in Jerusalem at this moment, and it is the parable of the talents. Now, seemingly, these two parables of the pounds and talents are the same, but no, there's a difference. Again, there are some servants here, and the good man is going on a journey, and he says, I'm coming back and occupy till I come. But this time, he doesn't give everybody a talent. He gives to one five, another two, and to another one. Severally, according to their individual ability. And that is true, you know, in a sense, isn't it? Because while we also have equal time, if I can say this, equal opportunity in one area, it is very, very clear that some of them have been given great talents, great abilities, while others of us have not. You know, I've just been talking to some people whose children are extremely talented. And they're obviously going to do quite a lot with the talents that they have. You know, I was not given any talents. I don't have the IQ that all these other people have. But I tried to put one foot in front of another in the pathway of righteousness and in the pathway that God has laid down for my life. And yet, I have seen people with many talents who have wasted them and have accomplished very little upon earth. Well, coming back to this parable of the talents, this was not quite the case with these servants. The one who had received five made five, and he was commended by the good man. He said, enter thou into the joys of thy kingdom. And then the one who had been given two made two. And again he was told, enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. In other words, what we have been given, the abilities that we have been given. And John the Baptist made this point very clear indeed. He said, what have we that we haven't received? And that is very true. The Apostle Paul develops that and says, well, look, we are what we are by the grace of God. We're not all equal. God has given some talents above others. And I admire these people with high IQs and geniuses and so forth, which I haven't been given. But my concern is this, that what God has given me, I use, you see. Well, the one with two produced two. But the one who had only received one talent, again, he was like that other person in the other parable of the pounds. He went and hid his talent. He didn't use his talent. And therefore, when the master said, well, what have you done? He said, well, I hid it. And again, the condemnation of the Lord came upon this person. He said, oh, cast him out into outer darkness. I gave him that talent. He didn't use it. Whatever God has given, we ought to use it. You might say, well, that lets me out. You know, I haven't got much from God. You know, there was a lady in the land of Wales who said that very same thing to the Lord and says, look, Lord, I don't have anything. I can't do anything for you. He said, well, what do you do in your kitchen? Well, she said, I make soup. He said, when someone's sick in your village, a woman sick in the village, he said, you make soup, you go and take that soup to that sick person. And that she did, until she became, if I could say this, well known in that village for her ministry to the sick. And when she was ministering to them, she led so many of them to the Lord. You see, what God has given you, maybe it's one, utilize it. Ask God how to do it, and you can have a very fruitful life, even though you perhaps don't have these 5 talents that some others have been given. Well, there is one other parable. You know that the Lord gives, just on this last, if I can say, week of his life, and it is called the parable of the 10 virgins. You know, it's centered around a wedding feast. And as you look in the Word of God, you know, really, a wedding is a type of the great wedding supper of the Lamb, when the church, which is the bride of Christ, will be united with the bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, now in these last days, before the appearance of the Lord, we're getting marriage attacked. We're seeing the divorce rate rise to a phenomenal number. We're even contemplating in the United States having a marriage between the 2 people of the same sex. It's denigrating, it's contrary to the Word of God, and it completely breaks the type of the church and the bridegroom. For the church, the bride of Christ, is always referred to in the feminine in the Word of God. Well, here we have a Jewish feast, and the bridegroom comes at a time when, if I could say this, he is not necessarily expected, but he must be escorted by the virgins with their lamps, and then they in turn go into the wedding feast with the bridegroom and the bride. And here we have 10 virgins. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. And the 5 who were wise made sure they had plenty of oil in their lamps. Oil speaks of the Holy Spirit. Oil speaks of the life of Christ within. And, you know, there's a warning in Hebrews that we don't let this oil of life or the life of Christ, this great salvation, slip away from us as through leaking vessels. Well, the wise had a goodly supply of oil. And the foolish, you know, didn't have that supply. Well, they all slept because the bridegroom had not come. And then the cry arose, behold, the bridegroom cometh. All the 10 virgins woke up. The 5 wise, they lit their lamps, they were burning. But the foolish had not sufficient oil, their lamps had gone out. And they said to the others, well, give us of your oil. Well, we cannot, because if we give to you, we haven't for ourselves. And so they went away
The foolish went away to buy oil, but the bridegroom had come. And the wise had their lamp shining, escorted the bridegroom into the marriage supper of the Lamb, and went in with him. And the door was shut. And when the others came back, the door was shut. And they were refused entrance. Well, the essence of that parable, that somber parable concerning the virgins, is this. Look, we know not at what time the Lord is coming, for us personally. Things have got to happen, and we're going to study that in another episode concerning his second coming, certain things that have got to come to pass before he comes. But we don't know when he is coming for us. And many people have died unexpectedly. You know, and they have died unprepared. And oh, how important it is, beloved, to be the wise virgin, whereby the oil of the Holy Spirit is burning deeply within our hearts. When we're studying day by day, when we're praying day by day, when we're going to church every week, and we are living for the Lord, burning out for him, as it were, being a burning light, so that when he comes, our lights will be burning brightly, and we will be all ready to meet the Lord when he comes for us. And so may God grant that that be your case, that when he comes for you, your light will be burning brightly, because you're meditating, praying, and going to church every week, meditating the Word of God, burning brightly by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, your light burning gloriously as you go in and are escorted into heaven's glory. God bless you.